come together.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox.
It is time for a marvelous Monday edition of Let's Talk right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. It's a little chilly out. Couldn't help but notice. Phone line is open, 814-954-7266. That is the number that will get you into the big show this morning. Jeff and Scott with you. Lots of different directions we can go. Lots to get into over the next couple of hours. So buckle up, baby. Here we go.
Yeah, he noticed because where he was this weekend, it was the, what was the temperature?
Oh, it was in the 50s. Something near 55 on Saturday.
Wyoming.
Out in Laramie.
Wyoming.
Of all places.
Cold, gritty, tough, rough December. It's like 55 degrees. It's like, wait a minute. I'm watching the Denver Broncos football game on TV yesterday of playing the Packers. I'm thinking, okay, I have been to Denver. Now, I've not been to Denver in December. I've been to Denver in January where it was cold and snowy, like, woo. So I figured, all right, I'm going to turn this on. It's probably much the same. And I'm watching, you know, the camera shots of the game, and you can see fans in the stands in shirt sleeves.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking, wait a minute. And so I do a quick little search. What's the temperature right now in Denver? It's 60 degrees. Like, what? It's
like, crazy good
stuff. It's like
stuff.
The world is backwards.
Yes.
Holy mackerel.
Yes, it was.
The world is backwards in more ways than one.
Well, that's true.
All right, let's stick with weather. First off, yes, it is cold this morning. I think 10 degrees at my house. It's going to stay cold today. It's going to be cold tonight. But then, well, it's not going to be shirts. Well, for some of you, it would be shirt sleeves, okay? Maybe by Wednesday, we're going to make it to the early 40s, which will feel like a heat wave, won't it? Holy smokes. So stay tuned. Now, later on next hour, our friend Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, will join us. Now, Joe's told us about this for at least a couple of weeks now. Looks like a warmer week going into Christmas.
Yay!
You like that? Okay, we'll ring the bell.
I do like that.
All right, so, and
we want, you know, just one cold day with good snow, Christmas Eve, and then let's go into spring.
All that
on December 26th.
Go straight to spring.
Huh?
Yes, our friends our friends over at Tussie Mountain Ski Area, they're all for that. Yeah. Great idea. So hang on, folks. Bundle up. Actually, I did something this morning I haven't done yet all season.
Yeah?
I pulled out my actual winter coat.
Oh, boy.
I went to church yesterday, and me being me, which means kind of lazy sometimes, I've been wearing this kind of light pullover for a while. Even that morning when it was 1 degree, remember that, a week or two ago? I had this light pullover, and a friend from church, you know, we're all getting ready to leave. Friend from church, like, Scott, is that all you have? Do you need a coat? I'm like, no. It's like, no, I'm fine, really. I'm okay. I'm just lazy. Well, this morning I thought, okay, time to pull out the big coat. Ooh, so I pulled out the big coat.
There you go.
And it was warm, okay, which was good. That's the whole point of a big coat. As far as driving conditions are concerned, everything's fine, at least in our neighborhood. Now, Phillipsburg is on a two-hour delay this morning. No other Center County school is. Keystone Central is not. But I tell you what, a whole lot of other schools, Huntington County, Blair County, Jefferson County, Elk County, the greater Johnstown area, Canberra County, two-hour delays pretty much across the board for those folks this morning. As far as roads are fine. If you're in an outlying area, okay, you know this, right? There are spots where there is always blowing and drifting. Watch out for those. I hit several of those on my way in this morning. You got flat ground, you got a road, you got a farmer's field over here. We had some significant wind, and so you got some blown snow on roadways. Be careful of those spots this morning, at least. Snow plows are out. I passed two of them. although they're not plowing. All right, they're just, well, actually, the one guy, no, he wasn't plowing either. His blade was kind of low, but he wasn't plowing. So the snow folks are out. Don't think we really need them today. All right, other areas, I guess, over the weekend. I mean, we got a little bit of snow at my house. I don't know, an inch and a half, maybe. Really wasn't that much. It wasn't even 2 inches, I don't think. Other areas, I guess, more to our west and our northwest, got more than we did. So that's why all those folks have two-hour delays this morning. So there we go. And you could be in Denver, where apparently it's 60 degrees. Okay, it's upside down. Hey, again, need some money for Christmas.
Yes, yes, please.
Okay. Well, come on. Get down to the What's It store and buy a Powerball ticket. Because, again, Saturday night, it was $1 billion with a B. No winner. All right. So now the next jackpot is tonight. It will be at least $1.1 billion with a B. Now, I think I related on maybe on Friday that I actually was in a store and I bought a ticket, you know, a couple days ago or a few days ago. And rather than have the machine pick the numbers for me, I just stood in front of the machine and I just took my finger and I'm like, okay, what number should I pick? All right, this one. And I tried to let the vibes come through. Okay, this one. I tried to be, I called it diviner. The person is able to find water with a like a stick and so on. Okay, this one. Guess how many of the six numbers I hit?
All of them. You're the big winner.
Well, if that was all of them, no offense, buddy, you'd be doing a solo show.
What? I can't believe you.
I missed them all. Oh, jeez. It's like, come on, couldn't I have got one? Just one? No, I missed all six. So that diviner stuff is bull. All right, just it doesn't work. So.
Yeah.
So if I don't know, I might hit a store on the way in my you know my travels today. I'll just let the machine pick it because I'm no good at it anyway. Maybe at some point, all right, Mr. Bumper Music Man.
Yeah, yeah.
We need to pick out the Hanukkah song.
Ooh.
You know. Oh, for goodness sakes, I forgot his name.
Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler. Okay. Might have to pull out the Hanukkah song because this is Hanukkah week. I guess that officially started yesterday or today. I forget which. One of the two, which goes for a week. Folks, this was a very rough weekend. And if you follow news, you know what I'm talking about. Local and beyond. Actually, not that far from where I live. They discovered a hunter Saturday morning who apparently went out Friday. Didn't come back, started searching for him, and tragically found him on Saturday. Nothing with a gun or anything, just something happened to the gentleman and he passed away. That's a very sad story. I'm waiting for more details. Maybe something similar happened up near Beach Creek over the weekend. I saw online some similar stuff. I'm waiting for some official, you know, official pronouncements and stuff like that. I haven't seen that yet, but maybe something similar, you know, happened there. Then, of course, there was the incident at Brown University in Rhode Island where some person, how do you describe this person? Crazed person? I don't know. Barges into a classroom on Saturday with a gun and does terrible things. Now, that person is still at large. They're still trying to find this person. They have something on video of somebody just, I don't know, calmly walking away. Ugh, maybe we'll get some more details on that one. And then, of course, the incident at Bondi Beach in Australia, where they were marking the beginning of Hanukkah with a celebration or an event and so on. And apparently a father and son, not Australian, show up with weapons and start shooting them. Words don't describe. There's a video, probably it's been on news too, but it hit online first, of a guy, brave guy, tackling one of the shooters who's got a big gun and he's shooting away, and this guy tackles him and wrestles his gun away from him and, takes it, points it at him, doesn't do anything with it, and then this guy, I don't know, stumbles away or something. If I were that guy, I would have been tempted to use the gun. If that makes me not a Christian, okay, I plead guilty. Because this person clearly was, the first person was clearly using the gun. If I had wrestled the gun away from him, I'd have at least thought about it. You know, again, if that's anti-Christmas or whatever, fine, I plead guilty. Then there was the situation, we lost three people in Syria as part of an ambush, two soldiers and an interpreter. All of this over the weekend. Now, I've used this line too many times, folks. We are living in a very dangerous world right now. We really, really are. You know, Christmas time, there's the old line, if you go to church and so on, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Apparently not. So, I don't know, watch your step, folks. I mean, just, this is bad all the way around. And maybe we'll talk about it later. I don't know. Penn State finals week, of course, is this week, which unfortunately has its own version of stress. For those of us that can, can you remember taking college finals?
Oh, yeah.
It's been a long time. I can vaguely remember, and I remember kind of getting worked up and cramming the night before and all that fun stuff.
Yep.
Pizza and other things. beverages. Good luck to all those taking Penn State finals this week. All right, you know, go get them. All right, get an A or something. And then that's all done. And
you
then
it's do it.
And then it's safe for the out-of-towners to come back into State College again. All right, just give it a few days. Okay, it's going to warm up, too. All right, let's lighten up here a little bit.
Okay.
This is an interesting story, although this is a bit humbling. A boy from India has become the world's youngest officially rated chess player. All right? So apparently this boy from India now has a rating. And I guess if you play in official tournaments or whatever, depending on how you do, blah, 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 you get a rating. I've never done this. I haven't played chess in a very long time. But the International Chess Federation gives you a rating, you know, if you're number one, that's supposed to mean you're the best chess player on the planet or something like that. Well, this boy is now number 1,572, all right? He beat some players that were in their 20s, okay? So, in other words, he didn't win the tournament, but he won some matches. That's great. All right, let's play our favorite game, Quiz the Iron Head.
Oh, boy.
You wanna guess how old this boy was?
78 years old.
And he beat some 20-something.
It was amazing.
Well, that's
nobody saw it coming.
That's a shade high.
No kidding?
Try again. 78's a little high.
Six.
Try again.
Five.
Keep going.
1 year old?
Well, no, wait a minute.
Four?
Three.
What?
3 years old.
And you've got to be kidding.
And that's according to the story. This boy from India, 3 years old.
What?
And he won some matches at a chess tournament. And so he's now, for the world, number 1,572. He's only 3 years old. I saw that, I'm thinking, oh, man, is that humbling. Because he'd probably beat me. I haven't played chess in years and years. 3 years old. Now, does this make him a genius or a phenom or all those fancy terms? I have no idea. But a three-year-old, he just has innate ability, and he knows the basics of the game, and there he goes. Holy mackerel, 3 years old. That's unbelievable. All right. I have friends in the state of Minnesota, good friends in the state of Minnesota. Minnesota's a weird state. And if I said that in front of my friends, they would probably all nod their heads like, yeah, we're Minnesota. Yeah, we're a little strange up here. If you followed news, all right, all the crazy accusations and things that, you know, they're investigating in the Minneapolis area and all this sort of thing. You've heard of Mike Lindell. You know who that guy is, all right? You've probably seen him on television. His company is called MyPillow. You've seen that guy? He's the MyPillow guy, you know, and they produce these in Minnesota, and he's started the company, and they have all sorts of, you know, bedware and all that sort of thing. He's gotten himself into some trouble in recent years. He's a big, big fan of Donald Trump. The election, you know, did they cheat? You know, he was big on that one, making lots of claims and so on, got himself in some legal trouble, probably hurt his business a little bit, although he doesn't seem to care. Well, apparently he is now running for governor of Minnesota. Mike Lindell, the pillow guy, is running for governor of Minnesota. And I just thought, only in Minnesota would this happen. If you can recall, Mr. Wrestling, all right, remember the previous governor of Minnesota, the esteemed Jesse the Body Ventura.
Oh, we love that Jesse.
Remember him? I can remember when he was a wrestler, as in pro wrestler. I don't. Do you know? Was he ever like an amateur wrestler, like real wrestling?
Know.
You don't know?
I don't.
All right, you don't think so? I don't think so either. But Jesse the Body Ventura got elected governor of Minnesota. Okay, I remember when that happened. Like, are you serious? Only in Minnesota. Well, now Mike Lindell is running for governor of Minnesota. I would say he has a decent chance of winning because it's Minnesota. All right. Very interesting, unique state. Anyway. All right. You AI users out there, you know who you are. All right. I was doing some AI usage.
Were you now?
Over the weekend for research and so on. OpenAI is the most famous company. ChatGPT is still the most famous AI app.
Never
out
heard
there.
Of either one. What are these things you're talking about?
Okay, fine. Apparently, the other day, they have come out with their new version called GPT 5.2, which the company says this new version can do some things better than predecessors. Well, I would hope so. It's a new version. According to their own release now, it says here that this 5.2 is faster at finding information, it's faster at translating, it is faster at coding, in other words, writing computer code, and, now this is their line, it's better at figuring out more complex tasks like math. Okay, I'm not sure exactly how complex the math is, but I'm glad that 5.2 is able to do math, okay? I was using it for something yesterday, again, doing research. If somehow you've never openly or actively used one of these, try it sometime. I mean, it's free. Yes, there's a paid version, but there's a free version. Use the free version. I put in a rather, I would say, complex little prompt or question for it. I had answers within 5 seconds. That's the amazing thing about AI for me, is how fast happens. 5 seconds. I counted 1, 2, 3. 5 seconds. Boom. I have a whole screen full of information, and I looked it over, and it was good information. Like, yep, I recognize some of this stuff. 5 seconds. Whoa, that's incredible. Now, again, if you do any kind of web browsing anymore, I think every single web browser now, no matter which one you use, has some AI app built into it. And so you put a query or a question out there, you're searching for something, and usually now at the top of the screen, AI says, and it comes spitting right out. Like, whoa, that is amazing. So watch out for 5.2. All right, that's something to keep an eye on. Now, are you using those weight loss drugs? We're told a lot of people do, all right, and they're pretty effective. I mean, they are. I mean, this isn't smoke and mirrors. They apparently do what they claim to do. A lot of people have lost a lot of weight. That's a good thing, all right? You got to give yourself a shot, which I think some people are still a little freaky. They don't want to do that. Allegedly, the pill versions of this stuff is either coming out now or should be coming out by spring. And I think when that happens, probably a ton of people, pardon the pun. Okay, I kind of stumbled into that one. A ton of people are going to see the pill version, and they're going to say, okay, let's give this a try, depending on the cost, of course. Mm-hmm. Up till now, these shots have been rather pricey. And if somehow you're on Medicaid, okay, you maybe have a bit of a problem, because our friends at Spotlight PA have this story. The state of Pennsylvania, of course, sort of governs Medicaid and, you know, who gets what and so on here in Pennsylvania. That's a state thing. Apparently, the state is now restricting weight loss drugs for Medicaid patients. Why? Because they're having budget problems. That's why. Tussling with Washington and all this sort of thing. So if you're a Medicaid patient using these weight loss drugs, maybe you've already gotten word that, yeah, we're not going to be doing that right now, or we're not going to be doing that again. Now, you can moan and complain to Harrisburg. Probably your moaning and complaining needs to go more toward Washington. All right, because of this tussle over money and so on. I would say just sit tight, if you will. Wait for these pills. If these pills are as effective as the shots are, no offense, nobody's going to do the shots anymore. All right, again, some people are, you get that needle like, they don't want to do it. I can take a pill or two? Okay, gulp. When these come out, and the things that I've read so far are saying right now these pills look very effective. They help you to curb your appetite, which means that you eat less. And if you eat less, that means you lose weight. Now, yes, exercise, all that stuff. Yeah, you should do all that sort of stuff. But if these pills are as effective as the shots, when they hit the market here, I'm going to say in the next 3 months or so, I mean, gigantic, absolutely humongous. This is going to be big, 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 big. I don't know. Would you use those, Mr. Ironhead? If these pills weren't priced through the moon, would you consider using them?
Probably not.
Probably not. I'd have to give it. I mean, I could stand to lose about 20 pounds. I'd have to give it some real thought. I don't know if you need. I don't. Do you need doctor's permission for that? You know, like a prescription? I guess right now for these shots, you need some kind of a prescription. I don't think these pills are going to be over the counter from what I've seen. I don't think that's going to be. But was it $500 a month? Yeah, that's a lot of money to lose weight. Allegedly $150 a month when these pills come out. Like, okay, that's still a significant chunk of money, but it's not $500. And if you're having weight issues, go talk to your doctor. All right, we'll wait for these pills to come out. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. Oh, a lot of sportsy stuff over the weekend. Some interesting results in different directions. I'm losing count now. Penn State doesn't have two high school football recruits. They have more than two now,
ooh,
don't they? All right, Mr. Sportsman.
They do.
He'll have his update. We'll have some open line time later. Again, we'll talk some weather and the coming heat wave with Joe Bastardi of WeatherBell.com later next hour. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.7 The Fox. We'll do more of that Let's Talking right after this.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox. The Fox Sports Weekend.
Is your Sunday home for the National Football League. All of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle into coverage, and it is caught. Unbelievable.
It's the NFL. Sundays
on Central PA Sports Authority.
The Fox Sports Weekend. Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox. Fox Sports.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home. Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House. A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania. The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? Mm-mm, so good. Plus, you can choose from one of 5 themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coolest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines. The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails. Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Well, it's Christmas time again. Decorations are on by the fire. Everybody's singing. All the bells are ringing out, and it's Christmas.
It is Christmas all over again as we get ready for the big day. Closing in. Jeff and Scott with you. It is Let's Talk on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This is the second segment of the morning. Those familiar with the program have come to expect in this segment a check of sports.
Are we going to do that?
And we do a pretty detailed check of the local sports scene.
Yes. Deep breath.
I think we're going to go ahead and do that today. All right. Lots of Penn State football news. The Nittany Lions have added more recruits for next season, 4 more over the course of the weekend from Friday through last night. A couple of 3-star safety recruits from Nebraska, who originally signed with Iowa State, will now join Matt Campbell and company here in Happy Valley. Tyrell Chapman is from Lincoln, Nebraska, and Bryson Williams is from Omaha, Nebraska, and they made their commitments over the weekend. So did 3-star quarterback prospect Case Evans, and he is from Lexington, Texas, and then 3-star punter Lucas Tenbrock from St. Charles North High School in Illinois. Also, again, all were Iowa State commits, and now all are heading to Penn State instead. Meanwhile, Nittany Lion running back Catron Allen has accepted an invitation to play in the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. That'll be on January 31st. No official word yet on whether Allen will be playing in the Pinstripe Bowl for the Nittany Lions. We now know that offensive lineman Vega Ioane will not be playing in the Pinstripe Bowl. He will enter the NFL draft. He becomes the fourth Nittany Lion player to announce their plans to enter the NFL draft and forego the Pinstripe Bowl experience on December 27th at Yankee Stadium against Clemson. Joining Ioane are Zane Durant, Zaki Wheatley, and Nicholas Singleton. We're expecting a few more announcements. How many? I don't know. But expecting more announcements here this week. It is finals week, by the way, at Penn State, as they will be wrapping things up in the classroom this week. All right, sticking with college football, Washington got the Big Ten bowl season off to a good start with a 38-10 romp over Boise State in Saturday's bucked up L.A. Bowl.
Buck up?
Bucked up.
Okay.
It's all bucked up.
Bucked up.
That L.A. Bowl. Damon Williams threw for 215 yards and four touchdowns for the Huskies. Also Saturday, South Carolina State eventually held off Prairie View A&M in the Cricket Celebration Bowl for the 40-38 quadruple overtime victory. That's a lot of football. In the game on Saturday, America's game, I like to call it, it was a good one. Navy rallied to edge Army 17-16 in Baltimore. If you watched carefully, it looked like the midshipmen were enjoying the victory after the game, their fans and the team alike. Navy finishes the regular season at 10-2. Army wraps up at 6-6 for the year. On Saturday night, the Penn State wrestling team won its 75th consecutive dual meet, downing Wyoming 40-17 in front of a record home crowd for the Cowboys in Laramie. The Nittany Lions won 8 of the 10 bouts and picked up pins from Marcus Blaze, Shane Van Ness, P.J. Duke, and Mitchell Messenbrink. Penn State also got technical falls from Luke Lilladahl and Levi Haynes, and picked up decisions from Nate Desmond, who wrestled up at 141 and made his dual meet debut for the Nittany Lions, and Rocco Welsh at 184. The Nittany Lions are now 4-0 in the season and could set the record for most consecutive dual meet wins if they pick up a couple of wins at the Journeyman Collegiate in Nashville, which will be this Saturday. Penn State will face North Dakota State at 5 p.m. and then Stanford at 7 p.m. And again, if the Nittany Lions win both matches, that'll give them 77, and that'll be the record for most consecutive dual meet victories. Currently at 76, held by the Oklahoma State program. They had their run from 1937 through 1951. In other Big Ten wrestling action over the weekend, Rutgers was stunned by Oklahoma Saturday night. The Sooners rallied from a 14-6 deficit to win the final four bouts and prevail 19-14. Rutgers did rebound yesterday with a 28-12 win over Drexel. Also yesterday, Northern Iowa defeated Missouri by a final of 22-14, and Oklahoma State rolled to a 34-3 win over West Virginia. Also on Saturday, Pitt beat Maryland 35-3, and it was Indiana picking up a 28-14 win over Army. On Friday night, Ohio State topped North Carolina State 26-10. Buckeyes continue to look really good. Iowa defeated Utah Valley 33-7. And also beat Chattanooga 37-6. In other action Friday, North Carolina beat West Virginia 27-7, while Utah Valley downed Chattanooga 33-3. It was a good weekend for Penn State recruits on the wrestling mat as well. Jaden James knocked off top-ranked Melvin Miller in the Ironman tournament. James got the takedown and sudden victory to pick up the 4-1 win. Gray Burnett also took the title at 126, and Landon Seiden won the Penn Manor tournament as well. And Virginia Tech recruit Bo Bassett won his fourth Ironman title for Bishop McCourt. Bassett joins David Taylor and Zahid Valencia as the only wrestlers to claim four Ironman titles during their scholastic careers. High school wrestling locally over the weekend. It was State College placing fifth at the Penn Manor Holiday Tournament. Luke Young was the runner-up at 121 to Sidon for the Little Lions. Noah Young was third at 114. Teague Sanderson took fourth at 172. Cale Davis and James Whitbread placed fifth at 127 and 160, respectively, with Noah Williams placing sixth at 189 and John Whitbread seventh at 133. Bald Eagle area had a good day Saturday at the Tawanda High School Dandy Duels, 5-1. The Eagles won on the day. Bald Eagle area lost to Montgomery 44-28, but picked up victories over Wyoming area 60-16, Jersey Shore 45-19, North Penn 48-29, Honesdale 40-35, and Wilkes-Barre 41-31. Yeah, good weekend of wrestling, if, you know, you're a wrestling fan. Penn State men's basketball. Oh, doggone it. It was there. It was there!
It was there, yeah.
Oh, great effort. And really fun game. But the Nittany Lions come up just short against ninth-ranked Michigan State Saturday afternoon at the Jordan Center, 76-72. Freddie DeLeon leading the way with a career-high 23 points for Penn State. Caden Mingo, yep, he's pretty good. 11 points in the game. He also finished with 8 assists and 7 rebounds in the loss. The Nittany Lions fall to 8-3 on the season. 0-2 in the Big Ten. Penn State will take on Pitt. At the Giant Center in Hershey on Sunday afternoon. Come on. If you're going to win just one game
Beat this week, make it that game.
The only game they have this week. Other Big Ten hoops from over the weekend. Last night, it was USC over Washington State by a final of 68-61. Also yesterday, Iowa rolled over Western Michigan 91-51, while Minnesota downed Texas Southern 89-53. Also, in Saturday's action, a very busy day in Big Ten play on Saturday. It was Indiana cruising. Hoosiers are pretty good. And then the second half occurred. And then Kentucky reminded them that they're really good.
Okay.
And Kentucky blew them out in the second half. Indiana actually had the halftime lead. The Wildcats win it, though, 72-60. Ohio State edged West Virginia in double overtime, 89-88. Purdue defeated Marquette 79-59. Michigan remains undefeated with a 101-83 victory over Maryland. UCLA lost to Gonzaga 82-72. It was Nebraska remaining unbeaten with an 83-80 win over Illinois. Oregon crushed Cal Davis 104-62. Northwestern cruised to a 93-53 win over Jackson State, and it was Washington over Southern Utah 105-69, while Rutgers topped Seton Hall 81-59. The Penn State women's basketball team was drubbed at third-ranked South Carolina yesterday 95-55. Kiyomi McMiller had 22 points to lead Penn State, with Shayla Smith adding 13 points and 9 rebounds. Gracie Merkel had 9 points and 9 rebounds for the Lady Lions as well. South Carolina held a 46-34 lead at halftime, but then blew the game open with the third quarter, outscoring the Lady Lions in the quarter 29-9. Penn State falls to 6-4 in the season, while South Carolina improves to 10-1. The Lady Lions will head to Virginia for the Culture Holiday Classic this coming weekend. Penn State will face Virginia Commonwealth University on Saturday and then Richmond on Sunday. Some big news for the Penn State women's volleyball team, as Florida setter Alexis Stuckey is transferring to join the Nittany Lions, and her former teammate at Florida, Kennedy Martin. In her redshirt junior season this year, Stuckey had over 1,000 assists and was named a second team All-SEC selection. Kate Lally, the State College high school product, has announced that she is entering the transfer portal. Lally is also a setter for Penn State. And the Nittany Lions are also bringing in a top recruit as a setter for next season. Meanwhile, the Final Four is set in women's volleyball. Wisconsin is the lone remaining Big Ten team. The third-seeded Badgers knocked off top-seeded Texas in 4 sets and will now face Kentucky in the semifinals. And I know what you may be thinking, Ironhead. What do you mean Wisconsin's the only Big Ten team left? Did you forget about Nebraska? Dude, they're the best team by far, number one in the country.
Until yesterday.
Except that Nebraska yesterday.
Whoa.
And, man, what a match.
That was an upset.
Yeah, it was a great, great match. So Texas A&M goes up 2-1. Nebraska, at home, needs to win the 4th set. Now you need to win by 2. You play to 25, but you got to win by 2. Well, they get to 25 and they keep playing. They keep playing. They keep playing. Eventually, the Cornhuskers do pull out a 37-35 victory in the 4th set. And the Aggies say, no sweat. We got this. And the Aggies take the 5th set, 15-13. Texas A&M, a 3 seed, will now face a 1 seed, Pitt, in the semifinals on Thursday. Semifinal matchups again on Thursday, and then the national title match will be on Saturday. Good stuff there. Checking out the high school basketball scoreboard from over the weekend. On Saturday, the Penns Valley boys rolled to a 67-37 win over Bellwood Annis. Julian Battaglia and Fletcher Ironside each had 13 points to lead the Rams, with Noah Battelle adding 11. Penns Valley now 4-1 on the season. In JV action, Penns Valley beat Bald Eagle Area 40-33. And in junior high action, the Penns Valley A team beat Bald Eagle Area 26-11, while the Rams B team pulled out a 22-21 win over Bald Eagle Area. St. Joseph's boys in high school action lost a battle to Williamsburg, 52-48, your final there. Phillipsburg Osceola boys lost to Central Cambria, 71-48. Zach Myers had 25 points for the Mounties. Phillipsburg Osceola girls also falling to Central Cambria, 57-11. On Friday night, the State College boys defeated Harrisburg 77-62. The Penns Valley girls earned a 65-26 win over Bald Eagle Area. Sydney Dalton had 16 points, and Ellie Romig adding 13 for Penns Valley. Kinsey Clark had 12 points to lead Bald Eagle Area. The Lady Rams now 3-2 on the season, while the Lady Eagles fall to 0-3. The St. Joseph's girls picked up a 77-48 win over Juniata to improve to 4-2 on the season, and the Bellefonte girls lost to Bellwood Annis 74-11. In junior high girls action, it was the Bellefonte A team defeating Bellwood Annis 29-23. All right, back to college football. Fernando Mendoza becomes the first ever Indiana Hoosier to win the Heisman Trophy. He claimed the honor Saturday night in New York, gave a very emotional speech, very cool to see. Mendoza threw for almost 3,000 yards this season, 2,980 yards and 33 touchdowns with just six interceptions. He also ran for six touchdowns. Mendoza easily outdistancing Vanderbilt quarterback Diego Pavia, who finished second. He was very special and dynamic for the Commodores this season. Notre Dame running back Jeremiah Love took third in the balloting, and Ohio State quarterback Julian Sayin was fourth. He is just a freshman for the Buckeyes. The undefeated Hoosiers are the number one overall seed of the college football playoffs, which will get underway this weekend. Friday night, it'll be 8th-seeded Oklahoma hosting Alabama. On Saturday, it'll be Texas A&M hosting Miami, then Ole Miss hosting Tulane, and then Saturday night, Oregon will entertain James Madison, along with Indiana, 2nd-seeded Ohio State, 3rd-seeded Georgia, and 4th-seeded Texas Tech all have first-round byes. The Philadelphia Eagles snapped a three-game losing skid, edging the Las Vegas Raiders 31-0 last night. Well, yesterday afternoon.
Should have been 38.
Jalen Hurts completed 12 of 15 passes for 175 yards and three touchdowns. That's pretty efficient. Dallas Goedert, their terrific tight end, hauled in six receptions for 70 yards and a pair of touchdowns. And one Saquon Barkley had 78 yards rushing and a score. The Eagles improved to 9-5 of the season and have all but wrapped up the NFC East. That is because not only did the Eagles win, but last night in Arlington, the Minnesota Vikings crushed the Cowboys' playoff chances with the 34-26 victory.
Figured you would like that one, all right.
Mathematically, Dallas is still alive. Realistically, they're done. They will not be making the playoffs here in the 2025 campaign. They would need to win out and have the Eagles lose out, as neither of those is happening. Neither one. They need both to happen here. Other NFL action yesterday, the Buffalo Bills rallied from a 21-0 deficit in Foxborough to beat the Patriots 35-31. We may have more on that game a little bit later because, and I've been guilty of this over the years, and I've learned my lesson. When one team jumps out to a big lead, sometimes you start getting a little cocky. And I think that's what happened. Fans, announcers, all of that. And then, whoops. Yeah, Buffalo is still pretty good. Again, they jumped out to a 21-0 lead. They led the game 24-7 at halftime, but the Bills put it together in the second half in Foxborough. Josh Allen threw for 193 yards and three touchdowns, and James Cook ran for 107 yards and a couple of more scores. Ravens kept the pressure on the Steelers, pulling to within a half game in the AFC North with a 24-0 shutout of the Bengals. And, Joe Burrow both sounds and looks like he may be done in the NFL. He just
Cincinnati.
Not saying that. With the NFL.
You serious?
Did you not see his comments last week? He is.
He's not happy.
And just doesn't like the having to go through the preparation, basically to play in the NFL. It's hard. It is. But the Ravens, again, win it easily yesterday. Meanwhile, the Kansas City Chiefs lost to the Chargers 16-13. With that loss, any chance the Chiefs had of making the playoffs, gone. They will not be in the playoffs this year. They also lost quarterback Patrick Mahomes with an injury near the end of the game. He has a torn ACL. Packers lost to the Broncos, who clinched a playoff berth 34-26. Denver looking very good. And the news also worse for Green Bay. Not only did they lose the game, they lose Micah Parsons with what is also believed to be a torn ACL. We should get confirmation on that later today. today. The Texans doubled up on the Cardinals 40-20. It was the Jaguars remaining hot, a 48-20 romp over the Jets yesterday. The Commanders beat the Giants 29-21. It was the Bears mauling the Browns 31-3. The Saints knocked off the Panthers 20-17. The Rams get a big showdown win over the Lions 41-34. The Seahawks held off the unretired Philip Rivers and the Indianapolis Colts 18-16. Never seen a 60-year-old quarterback out there. Oh, he's just 40. What is it? 43, I think. 44. It was the 49ers outscoring the Titans 37-24. Tonight, the Pittsburgh Steelers will host the Miami Dolphins in Monday Night Football. We will have live coverage of tonight's critical game starting at 7:30 here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. The Steelers need the win to keep that game cushion over the despised Baltimore Ravens in the AFC North. Pittsburgh Penguins picked up a point, but lost in overtime to the Mammoth yesterday. Should be the Hive of Utah. 5-4. Justin Brazow made a couple of goals for Pittsburgh. Ben Kendall and Brian Rust also lit the lamp for Pittsburgh. Kendall also had a couple of assists. Penguins now tied for fifth in the Metropolitan Division. The Flyers are still fourth after a 3-2 loss to the Carolina Hurricanes yesterday. Jamie Drysdale and Trevor Zegras scored the Philadelphia goals in yesterday's game. And that is a little something we like to call sports. That was an entertaining little weekend.
Kickoff for the Steelers game tonight. It's supposed to be about 15 degrees.
Oh, it'll be beautiful.
They're going to freeze the Dolphins.
Dolphins showed up in Pittsburgh Friday and went right up Friday night, and they went right over to the stadium. T-shirts, a couple of them bare-topped. They're like, hey, we're ready, baby.
Macho.
We'll find out if you're ready.
Okay.
I guess it was Saturday night, not Friday. Saturday night.
Macho action.
We'll see. See if they're ready. Come on, Steelers. You need this one, baby.
Freeze the fish. All right, we got frozen fish. All right, we're going to take a break. So many things to go over. We'll start with sportsy stuff. We'll do some newsy stuff later on. And hey, your phone calls, of course, always welcome. So get ready for that. You're listening here to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox, where we're not freezing. It's warm in here. We'll be right back.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Hi, listen, if you're considering an assisted living facility for yourself or a loved one, it's important that you choose a highly rated facility. And Celebrationville of Nittany Valley is one of those facilities. U.S. News and World Report 2025 ranked Celebrationville of Nittany Valley as the best assisted living facility. Now that's a great accolade. Celebrationville of Nittany Valley specializes in enhanced personal and memory care. Located in State College, from the moment you arrive, you'll find your or your family members' needs are met with the utmost attention and mindfulness. Nestled in a quiet, modern setting, Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley offers a warm and friendly community that's close enough to town to keep you or your family member connected, yet far enough away to provide that peaceful country feeling. For details, go to CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. That's one word, CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. Or call one of our friendly staff members for leasing and sales. Call 814-235-7675. Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Be a part of the best event of the winter. Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with sci-fi and fantasy fans from across the region. If you're a vendor of anything looking to reach this energized audience, open space is currently available. Go to happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the vendors tab for information. Reserve your space today and get ready for a weekend of action and profit. happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the vendors tab. Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports, I love Pittsburgh sports, we both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home.
Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House.
A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
It's Let's Talk here on a Monday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. The phone line is open and available for your use at 814-954-7266.
Travis Kelce's girlfriend there.
That's right.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Little NFL tie-in here.
I suppose
this.
Good news for her. I mean, Chiefs are done. They're not going,
yeah,
to the playoffs.
They'll be able to enjoy Christmas together.
Yeah,
they can just bag the rest of the
go
season.
Go on vacation in January.
Doesn't even have his quarterback to throw it to him anymore. He's like, I'm out of here.
Oh,
forget
it. I'm watching the Broncos-Packers game yesterday. Micah Parsons closing in on the quarterback.
Yeah.
And they showed this in slow-mo.
Never good.
His leg goes in a direction it really shouldn't go in. I'm like, oh, no, 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 no.
Yeah, the dreaded non-contact injury. It's like, oh, that's
he shed his blocker, and he's going right to the quarterback, and then... And, you know, if you're not an athlete, you're like, well, how did that happen? It just happens. And, boink, it's like a rubber band. It just breaks. And, oh, it goes right down. I'm like, oh, no, no. And I'm not a Packers fan. It's like, oh, no, 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 not that, not that. Ugh. Bad, bad, bad. I'll tell you what, Saturday going to be interesting. Now, you mentioned the football playoff starts. There's a game on Friday night. And then there's three games on Saturday.
Yep.
The NFL, every December, they wait till college football kind of moves out of the way a little bit, and then they start their Saturday games. So there's a bunch of NFL games on Saturday. Holy mackerel, there's going to be a lot of football on Saturday.
There is going to be a lot of football
Saturday. All right, so if you're a football fan, I guess Saturday is your day.
Yeah, it'll be a good day.
Penguins blew it.
Yeah.
What did you think of the Tristan Jarry trade? That was an interesting one.
Yeah. I'm good with it. They're feeling good. I'm okay with it.
You sure?
Yep.
All right. They got this young kid. Was it Murashov? who, again, 3-0 after two periods, and then Mirashov gives up 4 goals in the third period.
Yeah.
They go to overtime. He gives up the overtime goal, like, what, in the first minute or something like that. Game over.
Yeah, he'll be
I'm thinking,
right.
Okay, here we go again. This third period defense is not working. Anyway. Any wrestling surprises from cold, snowy Wyoming on Saturday?
Yeah, it was unbelievable how nice Wyoming was. Not typical for this time of the year. The locals assured us. But, yeah, we were in the 50s both Friday and Saturday. Saturday, I think they got to the mid-50s. And it was, yeah, it was downright pleasant. And they have a really neat arena. The arena auditorium, the double A, they call, but it's like a bowl. It just really neat. I think it holds about 11,000. They had by far their biggest home crowd for a wrestling match ever there in Laramie. They beat the old record by over 2,000, and they had, I think it was 4,600 plus in there on, but the lower bowl was filled, pretty well on Saturday night. So, I thought both Connor and Cole, would get victories. Connor got a little banged up with his ankle, and, they both had very good opponents and no shame in the losses. But yeah, Penn State looks pretty good. They're not a bad team. And they got a lot of guys that are just special. I think I joke around about this every year, but not pretty many programs can put out multiple once-in-a-generation talents every year. That's what Penn State is seemingly doing. And it's remarkable to watch. And they're a fun team to be around. They're just a bunch of really good guys off of the mat, which makes it a lot easier to get behind and root for them. But man, on the mat, their wrestling prowess up and down that lineup is pretty special.
All right, now you know the team, obviously I don't, but this team being so good year after year after year after year, I would think the pressure would be crushing when your program has won 75 straight dual meets. I would think the pressure somehow would just be like the 500-pound gorilla on your shoulders. You're saying that's not how this group sees it?
No. Now, that's not to say, listen, if you are in the starting lineup at Penn State, that in and of itself brings pressure with it. I mean, there are expectations that are ridiculous. I mean, any time a starter loses a match, There is a segment of the fan base, oh my God, what is happening? It's like, well, okay, you do know it is hard to win at this level and win consistently. So, listen, there is pressure, there are expectations, and these kids feel it. But I think this coaching staff does an exceptionally good job of reducing that pressure and not creating any additional pressure in that room. The focus really is 100% on, hey, let's just have some fun and see if we can get a little better today. And that's every day how they approach practice, is let's have some fun and see if we can get a little better. Now, fun will be defined differently by different people, I understand. A wrestler's idea of fun and a normal, right-thinking human being's idea of fun are not quite the same thing. I will grant you that. But they do. They have fun in the competing and in the rolling around in that room. So it's not that the practices are easy by any stretch, but it is just a very positive, uplifting atmosphere, and the mood before and immediately after practice is again very lighthearted, and so they're it's very intentional the way they set everything up, because they know these kids are feeling it, they hear it, they know what the expectations are, and truthfully, the expectations are not realistic for anybody. No matter how good you are, you're not going to go out and win bonus point matches every time out. Although, this team is coming pretty close to do it. If Josh Barr does, in fact, take over the starting role, as I think most are anticipating, at 197, the 10 starters, again, with Barr, who's 0-0 in the season, being inserted over Connor Mirasola, and if we presume at the moment, and I would not presume this, but presume for the moment Nate Desmond is at 141 moving forward. Now, Aaron Nagao is going to be back, and they're going to have, I would assume, a wrestle off there, and we'll see how everything works out at 141. But for the moment, if you take Nate Desmond at 141 and Josh Barr at 197, and, you know, Cole Mirasola, for the moment, is the heavyweight. Obviously, Lucas Cochran is not far behind, and they're, you know, that might not be completely settled just yet. But with Cole Mirasola in there, the 10 starters at this point have wrestled 59 bouts so far this season. 51 of those 59 bouts have resulted in bonus point wins for the Nittany Lions. You just need to trust me if you don't follow the sport. That is absurd. It is absurd to have a wrestler in your lineup, one out of 10, that is winning at an 80% clip bonus points. This team, the entire roster, is winning at over an 80% clip in bonus points. Like, it's bonkers. 51 bonus point wins, and then, you know, 6 just regular old decisions and 2 losses for those 10 to this point. So, yeah, it is a very good team, but they're just, man, they're just a good group of guys. All throughout, and not just the starters. It's, you know, the guys that are in those backup roles understand the importance of those roles and giving the starters good looks and being willing to help them out in any way they can, and also obviously improving themselves day in and day out. It's just they have it rolling right now, but they have it rolling above and beyond the results on the wrestling mat. That it's just, it is a group of guys that gets along exceptionally well, and a group of guys that is really focused on not the result, on just the process. And that's easy to say, much harder to do. And this team, this program right now, does it as well, if not better, than anything I think we've ever seen in college sports, let alone college wrestling.
I caught the end of your broadcast Saturday via the Penn State website, and you had Shane Van Ness, who was the award winner.
Yep.
And you're talking to him, and he mentions his workout partners. He mentions Ty Watson.
Yep. Like,
from Penn's Valley. I know Ty. Great young man. And I'm thinking, somebody that takes the time to note his workout partners, that impresses me. It's
yeah.
Not, in other words, not all about me. I'm going to make sure to celebrate the guys I work with because they help get me ready. I like that.
Yep. Ty Watson has been integral. Tyler Kasak, I'll tell you last season, that Tyler's success was largely predicated on what Ty Watson gave him in terms of feels in the wrestling room. And Ty is one of many kids on this team that just really do have that selfless attitude and work their tails off, but really are there to support their teammates. And yeah, it's just it is a really fun team to be around. I mentioned on the broadcast Saturday night, one of the cooler things that I get to do with the job is to go over and watch the practices. And when they were rolling around on Friday night, again, it's about a 5-hour drive. from Laramie to Heber City, Utah, which is where Cale's from and where his folks and a lot of the family still live. So there was I think it's just the second time in Cale's tenure that Penn State has been a relatively easy drive away for the dual meet, Utah Valley being the other. And so there were a lot of friends and family that did make the trip to Laramie for the dual meet, including Steve, who is a very good coach in his own right. And Steve was in there and was showing a couple of the more veteran wrestlers just how to finish off some things, little adjustments. It was really cool to watch, a lot of fun to watch. And, again, these guys are a very humble group, and for as accomplished as they are, their willingness to listen, to take advice. Now, it helps that you know this is advice coming from extremely knowledgeable wrestling folks. I mean, nobody's going to question Steve Sanderson's credentials any more than they're going to question Cale or Cody's. But this really is a very coachable team, and they listen, they make adjustments. And again, it's all about just getting a little bit better each day along the process. And Shane Van Ness is a great example. I mean, he came in very accomplished, very good, and has just gotten a little better every step of the way. And, you know, this year, we'll see how it finishes out, and nothing's guaranteed. But I think he has taken another leap in his wrestling ability and, you know, is clearly the guy to beat there at 149. Now, it's wrestling. Stuff can happen on a given day, and we see that every year at the NCAA tournament. There are guys that you're like, ah, that guy's going to win, and then, no, he doesn't win. Just like women's volleyball yesterday. I'm still stunned, and it's not, I mean, Texas A&M is a terrific team, but Nebraska was just so consistently dominant all season long. And so, again, sports. That's what makes sports fun, is that you're a little off on a given day, or sometimes it's not even that you're off. It's that the other guy is just, wow. Where did that come from? It happens. They're just locked in. And, boy, Texas A&M was locked in. I really thought, not to get into the volleyball discussion, but just checking that game out, when Nebraska ended up prevailing in that fourth set, I'm like, oh, look out. I really thought they were going to just pull away and dominate that fifth set. And then Texas A&M took the lead, and Nebraska kept hanging, and it's like, oh, man. Man, A&M put it away when they needed to, when they had the opportunity. Great spike to end the game, and just an amazing win. But so my point being that not all of these guys, now they may. Penn State's track record is very good under Cale Sanderson and this staff in the postseason. They could end up having, I think I even predicted with Bill Horlocker's column that they would have this season the most national champions of any program in a single year in history, which would be six or more. And I really think they have at least eight weight classes where they have a legitimate title contender, where the individuals, you're like, oh, yeah, no, I could see them winning the whole thing. So, yeah, we'll keep an eye on that. But they're a fun group, and they keep it in perspective. And that's to me, part of the reason for the success that this program has, is that they don't get caught up in those outside expectations. They have very high expectations of themselves and what they're wanting to do with their craft. All right, let's head to the phones. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Hello, Jeff?
Yes.
Jeff, I just listened to your program, and I've wondered this for a couple years now. Or more. Why hasn't there been, has there been any talk of adding a weight class or two to college? I watch high school matches, and I see 13 weight classes, and I see some of a lot of these high schools can't field half to three quarters of a team to participate in high school, but we get to college, and it just seems to me if we had another heavier weight, you know, I could understand maybe not wanting the college kids to wrestle light, you know, out of high school.
Yeah.
But I think we could add a heavier weight in college, or even a lighter weight, and make things, you know, having three great kids at one weight class, it just seems that there could be some, you know, changes made to give more kids an opportunity.
Yeah, I would love to see. First of all, I've not heard any discussion on it. I think part of it is it's just really hard in this era of college athletics, and with all of the uncertainty going on and all of the money being bandied about and the uncertainty with the outside of the football basketball programs about what's going to happen here with these sports, I think it's going to be a challenge to even consider adding opportunities, even though I'm with you. I think at least adding a weight class, if not two, would be great. And yeah, I would also agree that probably college wrestling could add, and high school could probably take away a weight class or two, just because, yeah, the numbers, it is not good for the sport. This is just my opinion. But in a hotbed of wrestling, which Pennsylvania is, to have as many forfeits as we do, just about every high school match has seemingly at least a couple of forfeits. And that's just not... It's not a good look for the sport. It's not great for the fans, not great for the kids. And, you know, at the same time, I understand. I mean, I want the opportunities to be there. But, again, when consistently you're having, you know, anywhere from one to five forfeits in a given match, just not a great look.
Yes, well, just something I've thought about, and I appreciate your information, and thanks for the show.
No, thank you for the call. And I'm with you. I think it would be a great idea. I've not heard, maybe they are having discussions. I've not seen anything written or heard anything along the lines of, hey, let's consider adding. I mean, you hear it among media members, and, you know, I've heard coaches occasionally mention, boy, it'd be... Can you imagine this guy if there was a 225 or a 230 weight class? And that would make a ton of sense. But I've not heard any real push to get that type of legislation through to make that happen at the collegiate level.
I've always wondered that.
Yeah.
Like 225, boom, right there.
Yeah.
You know, you got, what is it, 197?
Yep.
And then heavyweight.
285,
and
yeah.
And I'm thinking, wait a minute, that's a big gap of
yeah,
weight.
Yeah, and so my preference would be, yes, add a 225 or 230, weight, whatever, in that neighborhood. And then, and I think I may be in the minority here, but... I would like to still leave the 285, or maybe even make their like a 270 or 275 category. And then the thing that I always loved about wrestling when I was growing up, when I was a kid, is everybody could compete in wrestling. It didn't matter how small you were, didn't matter how big you were. Now, that's not the case anymore. Now, it also, like at the Nationals, we used to also have the Division II and Division III champions would be in the field at the Division I championships, so you would have a quote-unquote true national champion. Now, did those kids fare well very often? Well, no, there's a reason they're Division II or III and not Division I. But Carlton Hasselring, obviously the most notable exception, ended up winning three Division I titles along with three D2 titles at Pitt Johnstown. And, remains a legendary figure in the sport as a result of that. May you rest in peace. And so... now, with the 285-pound weight limit, again, when I was growing up, it was unlimited, and you had
Yes, it was ridiculous. Sometimes you would have a 450-pound guy taking on a 205-pound guy.
Yeah,
it's like, huh, I wonder how this is going to go. And, yeah, it pretty much always went the way you would think that would go. But now if you weigh, 300-plus, you're not wrestling. And, that's what I always loved about the sport is now you might be undersized. Again, it didn't matter what size you were. You could be smaller than the, 125. You could be 100 pounds, but you at least had the opportunity to, you can go compete at 125. You're going to be giving up some weight there. But again, anybody could wrestle, and that's, again, not the case anymore. You can, in fact, be too big to wrestle.
Interesting. All right, we got to take a break here. All right, let's talk here on 98.7 The Fox. We'll take a break, and we got some open line time until Joe Bastardi joins us in about 25 minutes talking weather. We'll do some more talking right after this.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Fox Sports.
Bigger and better than ever, it's the 2026 Happy Valley Comic Convention, February 28th and March 1st at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with special guest Tricia Helfer, the gorgeous Cylon from Battlestar Galactica, and Tracy Coco from Star Trek, along with actors from Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z, and other Japanese series. Collectibles, discussions, artist costume contest, and much more. Get your tickets starting now at $8 at HappyValleyComicCon.com. Kids 10 and under free on Sunday. HappyValleyComicCon.com. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook. Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate happy hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox State College. Frosty the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul, with a corncob pipe and a button nose, and his eyes made out of coal. Frosty the Snowman made the children laugh and play. Were they surprised when before their eyes he came to life that day?
It's Let's Talk here on a Monday morning, a marvelous Monday at that. Jeff and Scott with you. The phone line is open and available for your use at 814-954-7266.
That's Gene Autry.
It is Gene Autry.
Gene Autry. You got to go back a ways for Gene Autry. I tell you, I'm going to stick with sports because news.
frankly, is depressing
right
now. I mean, that song right there, Frosty the Snowman, okay?
Yep.
His eyes made out of coal. Somebody freaks out. I'm surprised somebody hasn't freaked out over this song.
Oh, I bet somebody.
Coal! Oh, global warming! It's like, whoa, whoa, slow down, all right? It's a song from, I mean, is there a year on that? What year did Gene Autry sing that tune? Is that, do you have that there? I mean, it's a long, long time ago.
Yes, I don't.
Let me stick with sports because news is too depressing.
All right.
Can I be blunt? I mean, right now, we'll tackle news maybe tomorrow. We have a guest tomorrow. Maybe later in the week. I don't know, immigration arguments, things that happen over the weekend. It's like, oh, my gosh. Rob Reiner and his wife found in their home. It's like, what the heck? And apparently it was a homicide. Like, what the heck happened there? And we're going into Christmas. It's just, So let me stick with sports.
Yeah.
All right, let me do it. Now, if you want to call in with something else, do it. All right? 814-954-7266.
Wow. 75th anniversary of Gene Autry recording Frosty the Snowman.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Jeez.
Yeah, I guess we have to replace coal with his eyes made out of, I don't know, licorice or something. I'm surprised somebody hasn't tried to do that yet. Anyway, there's that.
Now you're going to start another debate in our house because I love the black licorice.
I do too.
Somebody else in our house does not.
Oh, that's sacrilegious. Holy moly.
We also are getting bad news this morning from Mr. Bastardi. He is substantially under the weather.
Oh,
see what we did there? He's a weatherman. We under
it.
The weather, but he is really not feeling and not sounding well. So he is asking that we defer until tomorrow if we are able. I told him we are able.
We are able,
and we'll see how he's feeling tomorrow.
He can talk about the heat wave tomorrow. There we go.
There, yes.
He'll talk about the heat wave tomorrow. Yeah, okay, low 40s lately. That's a heat wave. All right, so we've got open line time to the end, which is great. 814-954-7266. I don't know, maybe we'll hit a depressing news story or two before we wrap up here. Penn State men's basketball. Oh, they were so close.
They were.
And they, I don't know, they always seem to play Michigan State tough. I'd have to look at the series and so on.
Yeah, especially at home.
They had a halftime lead. They had a 9-point lead at one point. They had a second half lead. The Spartans, unfortunately, kind of dominated, I guess, the last few minutes of the game. And they were able to get out ahead and hold off. Now, Tom Izzo, of course, is a legend in college basketball. Won national championships, been there forever, la, la, la. And all that sort of thing. Of course, after the game, you interview the coaches and so on. And I pulled this quote from Izzo where somebody asked him about Mike Rhodes, the Penn State coach. And Izzo's comment was, stick with him. The guy can coach. I was impressed. Okay. He also mentioned this line, get more people in the stands.
Well,
Izzo mentions this.
Yeah.
Now, that is, and I've wondered about this for a very long time. Penn State is in this continued conundrum. They cannot draw fans for basketball. They just can't. Now, wrestling, boom, they all show up, right? Football, boom, people show up. But when it comes to basketball, which is a marquee sport, they still can't draw fans for anybody. I mean, if you're going to draw fans, Michigan State would be the draw. All right, top 10 team, Big Ten rival, all that stuff. The students are still here, blah, blah, blah. It's just, what can Penn State do to draw more fans for basketball? Now, before you say, well, put a winning team out there. Well, we've had so-so football teams over the years, and 100,000 people still show up. And wrestling is just wrestling. Now, Penn State hasn't had a so-so wrestling team since, I don't know, Reagan was president or something, a very long time. But I bet even then, tons of people would show up. But for basketball, what does Penn State have to do? I don't know. Do they need to do, well, they do some of this stuff, right? They do, like at halftime, they have entertainment and they have, like goofy contests or whatever and all this sort of stuff. What does Penn State have to do to get more fans in the stands at basketball games? Men's or women's? I mean, the women's basketball team, now granted, you're going back a number of years when Reedy Portland was the coach and they were nationally ranked and a whole bit, and Penn State was one of the best women's basketball draws in the country. Now we're going back to Rec Hall and the early days of the Jordan Center. Do you remember when they opened the Jordan Center? For folks who can remember back that far, this was 30 years ago. They packed the place. I mean, it was packed with fans. I'm thinking 95, 96, somewhere in that zone. Now, that one year, oh, it was Matt Gaudio's year. Shoot, what year was that? I can't remember. They had a really good team, went to the NCAA tournament and so on. And it might have been the first year the Jordan Center was open, or it was the second year. I can't recall. But they packed the place back then. And then somewhere along the line, just... Folks, what's it going to take besides, well, put a winning team out there? Well, they got a winning record right now. What does it take to get fans to go to a Penn State basketball game? When the opposing coach mentions it, that's a little embarrassing. All right, one man's opinion. That's a little embarrassing. So what does Penn State have to do to get your butt in a seat? I would have gone to that Michigan State game. I had to announce a makeup high school basketball game on Saturday. That's where I was. I couldn't, otherwise, I would have been there. Because keep in mind, I've got a kid who has a Penn State and a Michigan State degree. I probably would have worn my Michigan State dad shirt, which I have at home.
What are you talking? You should be wearing your LGT shirt.
What?
Mighty Land Grant Trophy shirt for that game.
That's a football
thing.
Come
on.
That's not a basketball thing.
Oh, that's an everything.
That's an everything? Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Penn State's in a continued conundrum. And now it's finals week, and then the students are gone for not a month. It's... what would it be? One, two, three, 4 weeks? 3 or 4 weeks. Whatever home games they have in that particular stretch. Couldn't help but notice the Penn State Pitt game is in Hershey.
Yes.
Right?
At the Giants Center.
Okay, a neutral site, Hershey, la-la. We'll see how many fans they pull in. When I saw Izzo's comment, I'm just thinking, yeah. I mean, I've caught a couple games this year on TV, and yeah, you get the camera shots of people disguised as empty seats. What's it going to take to get fans to go to games? That's a real problem for Penn State. Then we got this thing. Now, this is from our friend Landon Tengwall, who former Penn State lineman. He's a, I guess, call him an online pundit now, all that sort of stuff. I've heard of this, but apparently this is supposed to happen today, that there is this hearing, which is I'm reading from some of Landon's stuff, a class action lawsuit challenging the current red shirt rule. All right. Now, again, the idea is you're supposed to play 4 seasons, and you have 5 years to do that. And so if you have a kind of an open year in there, they call that a red shirt year. And the idea apparently with this lawsuit is to do away with this. So if that would happen, then guys and gals would get a 5th year of eligibility. So in other words, I guess, am I understanding this right? You could get 5 years playing college, whatever your sport is. All right. And are you familiar with this one? Is there supposed to be an immediate ruling of some kind, or they're just talking today?
They're expecting that this is, yes, going to be ruled on soon. I've read through the legal arguments. I'm not sure I have enough of a legal understanding to know how the courts are going to roll. Now, generally speaking, the courts have ruled pretty substantially and pretty consistently against the NCAA in various matters. And so I've read some legal scholars that are like, yeah, there's really No doubt this is going to go through. Now, I have read some others countering that, saying, well, no, you can set up from an eligibility standpoint, you can set up rules the way you want. The issue, as I understand it, and if somebody out there has a better understanding, and that is entirely possible, I'm all ears. But I think what it really comes down to is that this isn't, this was determined by the NCAA without any input from the employee. And yes, the world we're living in now, the college student athletes are employees of the athletic departments. And so that is where where I'm guessing the NCAA is going to come out on the short end again here is because not so much that you can't have a situation where you set up the rules that, hey, yep, you have 5 years to use, 4 years of eligibility. And by the way, there are others out there, and I think there is at least a lawsuit that has been filed by somebody that it's like, no, it shouldn't just be 5 years. If I go to school for 10 years and I'm taking credits, who are you to prevent me from participating in college sports? So there is a push even to make this more than 5 years if kiddos so choose. And listen, there are players out there who are really good college players who aren't good enough to make it to the NFL. A lot more even college basketball players who are really good at the collegiate level, and they're not good enough to make it in the NBA, and they're looking at it and saying, well, if I can make this good money at college, I want to keep doing that for a few more years. I'll take some post-grad classes. I'll work for my doctorate, whatever it takes. But, yeah, if I can keep the gravy train rolling here. So, don't think that this is, once this is ruled on, either way, that then that's going to be the end of it. And certainly don't think it's the end of it if the courts do rule that, yeah, no, if you're there 5 years, you can compete all 5 years fully in your team. Now, the NCAA has made concessions over the years, and, you know, in football, you can play in up to five games and retain your red shirt status, or four games. In wrestling, you can have compete on five dates and retain your red shirt status. Again, this would say that no, you're eligible if you're enrolled in class for all 5 years, and then I think we'll probably see the case of, well, can you stay more than 5 years and retain the eligibility? Now, the other part of this is, can this get negotiated? And yes, but my question all along has been, who is going to do the negotiating on behalf of the players? Because at least at the moment, you're only there for 4 or 5 years collegiately. So over a 5 year period, like, you can't collectively bargain, in my mind, then beyond a 5 year period, because otherwise you're going to have a quote unquote collective bargaining agreement with nobody that is supposedly on the other end of the collective bargaining agreement. That would seem odd to me. So, again, a lot of moving parts out there in college athletics right now. All right, let's head to the phones. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Good morning, Jeff. Great job on the broadcast. I enjoyed that from Wyoming. I just want to say this, as it relates to this situation, eligibility and whatnot, the precedent's already been set. I think there were about 16 guys at Iowa in the last 5 years that were eligible for Social Security when they graduated.
Yep. Okay.
Thanks for your call. Yep. Okay, that's it. All right. Not sure about the Social Security part. That might be a slight exaggeration, a little bit. But, again, going from Landon's stuff, he says, on Penn State's roster, expect guys like Drew Aller and Catron Allen to be interested observers in this case, this court case. And at first I read that, I thought, nah, these guys, they want to go pro. It's time to go. Now, granted, you know, Drew, you know, had that injury which knocked him out for the rest of the season. I mean, would he like another year? Maybe. Just, you know, sort of get ready for the pros so you're not coming off an injury and trying to go pro. Okay. Catron just had a great season. He's phenomenal. I guess from the pro perspective, he's not super fast. All right. So, in other words, Nick Singleton is faster than Catron. But Catron, we all saw him. I mean, he can run. He can do it all. I mean, he's rugged and all that sort of thing. And then I just read this blurb that whatever NIL money he's getting right now, whatever his draft prospects are, if he goes to the draft in April, as expected, somebody said he might only be a second or third round draft choice. And I'm just thinking, really? Catron, really? I would think he would go much higher than that. He's proven himself. But if he would be a second and third round draft choice, he would make more money with NIL at Penn State than he would as a rookie in the NFL. So why not stay another year?
Yep.
And of course, that's the crazy talk that, you know, from the last couple or a few years, we would have never talked about this a few years ago. It would have been nuts. It's like, no, Catron, go pro. You know, way to go, man. Good luck. Now it's like, well, you know, could actually make more money staying here. Now, you mentioned 10 years. All right, that's a little crazy. 6 years, 7 years, maybe. But then the question becomes, all right, let's go, before we take a break, all right, let's say this court case goes a certain way and Catron and whoever's with him is like, okay, we're going to stick around for another year. What about all those young running backs behind him?
Yep.
What happens to those guys? All right, because they patiently waited for their moment, waited for their time. If this would happen and Catron decides, okay, I'm going to stay, what are those guys thinking? When do those guys get a chance to play? I'm just wondering if that could just upset the whole apple cart.
Well,
there.
Yeah, guys, we already had the test run of this was COVID and the granting of a fifth year of eligibility for student athletes there. And my opinion here, that did not go well.
I was going to say, how did that go?
It did not work out well. Really, for anybody, in my mind. Now, maybe, you know, you say, well, Carter Cerracci is a five-time national champion now. Okay.
That's one.
But in terms of the cycle, as you said, it disrupted that. And most guys, Carter would be an exception, and there certainly are other exceptions. But there were a lot of guys that came back for sixth or seventh years. And I think if you talk to them honestly, now they may have enjoyed the experience. It's like, yeah, you know what, you know, if I had had a chance to stay and drag out, my time in college, I think I probably would have done it. I had a darn good time, in my college years. But, there's a reason you just kind of cycle through that stuff. And a lot of those guys, especially in sports like football and wrestling, the more physical sports, it's just like your body kind of is, you don't want to go through another year of that. We've talked, Gunn Conlon said when his eligibility was up at Penn State, he said, and he had a great time at Penn State. I think, but he said, no, if they had offered me another year of eligibility, I would have said no. He was ready. Now, he also, I mean, his knee obviously prevented him from having an NFL career. So, but that's the kind of the point. It's a lot of those guys, again, especially in the physical sports, it's like, yeah, your body's, like 5 years to use 4 years of eligibility is kind of a good setup. It just feels right for both the kids and the sports. But again, from a legal standpoint, I don't know. It sounds like this has at least a reasonably good chance of it being, nope, now you get 5 years. of eligibility to use in 5 years.
Hmm.
And maybe it's even, I don't know if they'll still, maybe it'll go to five. You have 6 years to use your 5 years of eligibility. I don't even know if that's, I haven't really read into that angle of it, if the red shirt still, if it just goes away. But again, there are at least, I want to say it was a Vanderbilt player, but I might be wrong about that. But there is somebody out there, at least a somebody, that already has filed a lawsuit saying, no, that the even the 5 years, like if I'm enrolled in school and I'm taking college classes, I ought to have the opportunity to continue to play varsity sports. And again, I don't know, have enough legal savvy to know what the potential is down the road, but it's something they are going to have to figure out how to get the rules set up while involving the student athletes. Like that, they need to be part of the equation now because they are employees now.
That's a thought. What if the red shirt went away? No more red shirting. You don't have to worry. Well, you play a certain number of games, you know, blah, blah, blah. What if that all went away? Wow, that would really change things. Holy moly. Let's take a break here. All right, if you've got some thoughts, we'd love to hear from you. We'll move in some other areas as well. Let's talk here on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Harlan here from Monday Night Football on Westwood One. Join us all season long for primetime action on the road to the playoffs and Super Bowl 60. Each week, Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner and I will have the call of great matchups, along with Mike Golic, senior and junior, in the studio. Don't miss out on the great NFL tradition that is Monday Night Football.
Catch all the action all season long. Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coolest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Get up and get going with 98.7 The Fox.
Good on Hanukkah. Here comes Hanukkah. So much Hanukkah to celebrate Hanukkah. Hanukkah is the festival of lights. Instead of one day of presents, we get
eight.
When you feel like the only kid in town without a Christmas tree,
here's the fourth list of people who are Jewish. Just like Jesus, Olaf, Punky Brewster, Scott Rudin, and me. Joseph Gordon-Levitt enjoys eating Google. So does Stanley Jake Gyllenhaal and the two guys who founded Google. Adam Levine wears a Jewish star. So does Drake and Seth Rogen. Goldberg has a gold yarmulke to match the belt he won from Hulk Hogan. We got Scarlett Johansson. Talk about a kosher crush. And if you need a higher voice to turn you on, how about Geddy Lee from Raw?
That is the great Adam Sandler and the Hanukkah song, version four. As we roll on here with our Monday edition of Let's Talk Hanukkah, getting underway yesterday. Phone line is open, 814-954-7266. If you wish to join the program this morning, again, 814-954-7266.
So he has at least four versions of the song now?
It may be up
might
to...
Might be more than
four. It might be more now.
I just remember the original.
Yeah.
Right? O.J. Simpson, not a Jew. Now, here's the thing. Adam Sandler's Jewish. He can get away with this.
Oh, yeah.
If I did that song, in other words, if I wrote it, sang it, came up with it, people would look at me funny, wouldn't they? They would, all right? They just would.
They look at me funny anyway.
Yeah, anytime, right? I mean, Weird Al Yankovic, all right? Hilarious guy. Guy's hilarious.
Yeah, he's weird.
Weird Al is Jewish, okay? And he has this Fly Like a Rabbi song, which is one of my favorite Weird Al songs. All right, it's hilarious. I play this sometimes in the car, and I'm singing and I'm yelling at the windshield. Which, again, if I did that song, I'm Christian, if I did that song, oh, man, are you kidding me? On social media, I would get buried. All right? I would get criticized up one side and down the other, you know, blah, blah, blah. Come on, folks, loosen up. All right? Loosen up. Just anyway. Do I want to do depressing stuff? Do I really want to do depressing stuff?
Oh, boy.
All right, let's do this.
All right.
This actually has a couple of weeks of age on it. All right. Again, on the political side, oh, boy, D.C. especially, it's like, what are some of these folks thinking? Again, Republicans are stuck on health care. They're stuck. Something, it's probably going to be this week. They've got to come up with a solution about these health care subsidies. And what are you going to do? They can't just pull the plug on them. They won't just pull the plug on them because Republicans would be raked over the coals if they did. So they got to come up with something. They had a couple of votes last week. No surprise, they went nowhere in the U.S. Senate. Not a chance. One from the right, allegedly. One from the left, allegedly, went nowhere. They've got to come up with something. It might only be a one-year extension, which essentially is, you know, the old line about kicking the can down the road. That's what that would be. A one-year extension means we're not going to solve anything with this, but we don't want this to blow up in our faces, and next year is a big midterm election year, so we're going to kick the can down the road. Congress is really good at kicking that proverbial can, aren't they? Boop, boop, boop. We don't solve the problem, just keep kicking the can down the road. You know, what about, you know, all these arguments, they're everywhere about, you know, government money and who's getting it and who should get it. Should illegal immigrants get money somehow and all this sort of thing? Pramila Jayapal is a congresswoman from Washington State. She's a member of the so-called squad. All right, so this is pretty far left stuff. As you can tell, I'm not. She had a comment on X a couple of weeks ago, X Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, this argument that, you know, let's redo the census, let's recount the numbers. And, you know, in the census, should we only count U.S. citizens or should we count everybody? Because when it comes to the census counts that normally we do every 10 years, well, then some things change after the fresh census count numbers come out. And so should everybody be counted? Now, there's an argument right there, yes or no. Well, no surprise, Representative Jayapal thinks everybody should be counted. And she puts, and I looked at this, I'm like, did she really say that? She puts this comment out on X Twitter. This is like 2 weeks ago. And her comment, this is from her official account. Her comment says, every single resident of a community should be counted in the census so that everyone in that community, including U.S. citizens, have the resources they need. It's that simple. Let me reread this. Every single resident of a community should be counted in the census so that everyone in that community, including U.S. citizens, have the resources they need. Wasn't it nice for her to include U.S. citizens being able to get aid and help and so on? And I just read this comment. I'm like, okay, who exactly is she representing in her area of, I guess it's the Seattle area, Washington, which, again, for whatever reason, the West Coast, especially the coast, is definitely on the left-hand side. Everyone, including U.S. citizens, can get stuff. Okay. Shouldn't U.S. citizens be getting this stuff as opposed to all the other people? Congresswoman Jayapal? Out that way, apparently they don't blink an eye at this sort of stuff. Now the rest of us do. Like, what? Including U.S. So the U.S. citizens are able to get something? Well, that's, wow, what a concept. So let the arguing continue. It's just, oh boy. We could get into illegal immigration. Maybe we'll do that this week. Because once again, here, Scott, your friend, we're trying to solve the country's problems. I have the answer to the immigration problem. I have it right here on my device. So we're solving health care. We're solving other issues. Maybe we can solve the immigration issue too, but we're almost out of time here today, so we don't have time to do it now. Stay tuned. Yeah. And I bet if I do it, my friend here will disagree with some points of my plan. I bet he will.
I bet I will, too.
That would be you. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We have a quick wrap-up. Don't go anywhere. Let's talk. We'll be right back.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Hi, listen, if you're considering an assisted living facility for yourself or a loved one, it's important that you choose a highly rated facility. And Celebrationville of Nittany Valley is one of those facilities. U.S. News and World Report 2025 ranked Celebrationville of Nittany Valley as the best assisted living facility. Now, that's a great accolade. Celebrationville of Nittany Valley specializes in enhanced personal and memory care. Located in State College, from the moment you arrive, you'll find your or your family members' needs are met with the utmost attention and mindfulness. Nestled in a quiet, modern setting, Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley offers a warm and friendly community that's close enough to town to keep you or your family member connected, yet far enough away to provide that peaceful country feeling. For details, go to CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. That's one word, CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. Or call one of our friendly staff members for leasing and sales. Call 814-235-7675. Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Be a part of the best event of the winter, Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with sci-fi and fantasy fans from across the region. If you're a vendor of anything looking to reach this energized audience, open space is currently available. Go to happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the Vendors tab for information. Reserve your space today and get ready for a weekend of action and profit. happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the Vendors tab. Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center.
Why have you gone away?
It's Let's Talk here on a Monday morning. Jeff and Scott with you, and about a minute remaining in the big show today. We'll have some open phone time rolling your way on tomorrow's show as well. And Joe Bastardi will join us now tomorrow in the final segment.
And we have a guest tomorrow from a relatively new charity that happens to be in our own building. All right. Sometimes when Scott walks around the building, he actually opens his eyes.
Huh.
Like, well, I saw this recently. I'm like, okay, they're new to our building. Our building has a number of offices and businesses and so on. Mm-hmm. I thought, what is that? And I checked it out and I thought, hey, this is a very interesting charity. So we're going to meet the founder of that charity tomorrow.
Speaking of charity, if you're looking for a place to eat tonight, The Field is donating some of their proceeds to the Janet Marie Foundation, which happens to be my wife's wonderful foundation. So we're heading out there to eat. We appreciate their contribution. So if you're looking to help out and enjoy a great meal, do that. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox Sports.